Hello and welcome once again to the School of Faith. So glad you're joining us, whether you're joining us on on video, whether YouTube or Rumble, or you're joining us on the podcast. We're just excited that you're here today. And we are again looking into areas of faith. That's what School of Faith is all about. Recently, I taught a series here in the sanctuary at Word of Life, and it's called To See or Not to See. And I went into some areas that I don't think I've covered on the School of Faith. Now, we've had a lot of teaching on the School of Faith, but this is going to add to it. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. So you can just look at the title of this particular session to know which number it is and where you're at in the order, but that'll be easy to figure out. You don't want to miss one of these sessions in the School of Faith. So let's go into the sanctuary right now and pick up the Word. Get a hold of your Bibles. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same, because I am a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go with me over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 27. It's our anchor scripture for this series. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. And it says there, where is boasting then? Is it is excluded by what law? The law of works? No. But by the law of faith. Now, we don't have time to go into all what he's covering here in Romans. I just want to point out that Paul, the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said there is a law of faith. A law of faith. Now, what is a law of faith? Well, what is the law of electricity? What is the law of gravity? See, the reason why gravity does not fluctuate, you don't weigh 200 today and 100 tomorrow. Some of you went, come on. See, the problem there is even if the law of gravity fluctuated, that doesn't change you. But we'd have a real problem, because depending on which day it was, it would determine how quick your car would stop. Because the lighter your car is, the harder it is to get it stopped. It still weighs the same amount. It still has the same mass. And as you are lighter on those wheels, now I can testify to this because I'm a pilot. I fly airplanes. And when you come in for a landing and you come down and you flare out and your wheels first touch, it is not a good idea to jam on the brakes. You say, but my wheels are on the ground. Well, yeah, but you have not taken into account that the wings are still attached to the plane and they are still creating lift. So you have to slow down. The slower you go, the more weight gets on the wheels, on the tires. If you just touch down and hit the brakes, they will just lock up and you'll be down the runway. That is not a good thing. It's called flat spotting the tires. And once you flat spot them, they have to be replaced. And unless you want to go through a set of tires, which are not cheap, I don't care which plane it is, every time you land, you better not be jamming on the brakes when you first touch down. Amen? Because it's lighter. See, that's why you'd have a problem if gravity varied. Because some days, you try to stop and you go skidding right through the intersection. We'd have wrecks galore. But there is a law of gravity. Who made the law of gravity? God did. God said, gravity, you are going to act like this, and you're going to act like this 100% of the time. Gravity does not have a choice. It can only do what the law set by God tells it to do. Aren't you glad God set some laws? I'm so glad there's a law of electricity. Electricity travels through metal. That's why your wires, copper seems to be the best one. And so that's why all the wiring in your house is copper wiring. And it's covered with plastic, you know, and whatever. You know, so you don't get zapped and shocked. But I'm really glad that the law of electricity says it travels through metal. Because if the law of electricity changed tomorrow to where it traveled through plastic and wood, you couldn't touch nothing in your house. In fact, just walking across the floor, you'd be going, you'd be having a problem. But no, God defined the law of electricity. It's been working since he created this earth. You can find in some of the oldest scriptures mentions of lightning. What is that? It is electricity. It's the law of electricity. Electricity always wants to get back to the ground. That's why lightning comes down, trying to get back to the ground. Amen? You've never seen a bolt of lightning go up. You never saw from a cloud, it just went up into space. Wow, did you see that bolt? Man, it was wild. It went that way. No. Why? Because there is a law set by God. But then there is the law of faith. The law God has set, the boundaries and the instructions God has set for this thing called faith. The faith of God that is in you. I've got time to go into scriptures for that. But the Bible tells us the faith that is in you is the faith of God. That's why I know the faith you have will work. Somebody said, well, my faith don't work. Oh, it works. You just don't know how to work it. Because we must come back to the law. Find out, what did God say? How it does this work? You can tell me electricity don't work. You can tell me gravity don't work. I don't care what you say. I know they do. And you can go on and be delusional about it not working and just try to float your bad self right out the door. But it isn't going to work. And when people say faith don't work, no. Faith works because there's the law of faith. But sometimes, and the fact is a lot of times, Christians do not understand the law of faith. They don't understand what governs it. Therefore, they don't know how to use it. And when you don't know how to use something, you know what you usually do? You don't use it. Because you don't know how to. Amen. Stuff that you don't know how to do, just sits there. Just sits there. You know, we got one of these. I think it's called a Roomba. The little round thing, the automatic floor sweeper thing. And you know, you can program that to do your floors at certain times. Do you know what? I don't know how to program it. I did not read the manual. That's my fault. So you know how much that thing gets used? When's the last time that thing ran around our kitchen? Probably years ago. I don't even know where it is now. It's hiding somewhere. It's gone into retirement or something. Why? Because I don't know how to use it, even though it's capable. And let me tell you something. Faith is capable of doing everything God said it would do. But do we know? See, that's why I've been on this subject. Faith 101. So we started out, glory to God. That's the introduction. Don't count that against my time. We found out, I'm still in introduction here, but that's all right. We found out, number one, the first question you must ask is why faith is. Why? If you don't understand the why, then that messes you up for everything else. You need to know why. I got real irritated in school, high school, when they had me required to take a class that I had no clue why I needed to take it. I knew at that time I was called to preach. I knew I was called to pastor. And I would look at a course and go, what good is this going to do me? Why do I need this? And so I struggled with some courses. I struggled. And some of them I barely made through. You know, if I got a C, I was just like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Because I did not know a why. Now, one of the classes that I really didn't appreciate was English. We all speak English. I didn't know the why of English. But yet now, because we're using words, I use stuff that I learned in that English class all the time in preaching and in teaching and in helping people understand the word. But the problem is back then, I didn't know the why. That's why it was hard for me. It's always hard when you don't know the why. You need to know the why. And why faith is. Now, we're not going through everything I covered in those sessions, but the number one is, without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
It's what?
Impossible.
It's what?
Impossible.
Well, impossible. You understand? That impossible means ain't no way. Now, I understand that nothing is impossible with God. But when God says something is impossible, you better mark it down. There ain't no way. Now, he never says it's impossible for you to be healed. He never says it's impossible for you to be delivered, impossible for you to be free, impossible for you to have peace, impossible for you to have joy. He never says it's impossible for you to go to heaven. He says it's not impossible for you to have his presence in your life. But he does say it is impossible to please him without this thing called faith. Well, that tells me that no matter what it is I am doing, whether for my family, my wife, the church, my kids, whatever I'm doing, faith needs to be involved. Amen? If I'm going to please him. Now, I tell you, there are some things that I have done that I'm sad to say and sad to report did not please God. Because there was absolutely no faith involved whatsoever. So, you know, those things are just like, those are the things that when you put the torch to it, that goes, and there's nothing left. But the things that have faith attached to them, that's the silver and the gold before God.
Wow.
See? Fact is, in the book of Romans, it says, in one place, it says, that which is not of faith is sin. The word sin, remember, it means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Now, I know I've missed the mark my share of times, but I've learned. Faith needs to be involved. Now, how? Again, we come back to the law of faith. We need to understand this. So, first of all, first question is the why of faith. Second question is, what is faith? Because if you don't know what it is, how do you know if you're using it? If it's a nefarious, nebulous something that's floating in the ethereal somewhere, and just maybe someday, somehow, Lord, some way, somehow. If you're praying like that, you ain't praying in faith. Because faith is not some way, somehow. Faith is a specific way and a specific how. Amen? All right. So, we've been looking at this for the last couple sessions. What faith is. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is. Now, right here, there is an explanation and a definition of what this faith is. How we use faith in our culture today is not how the Bible uses it 95% of the time. The way we use it is faith, the Christian faith, or the Muslim faith, or the Buddhist faith, or whatever other religion there might be. And we use it that way as a generalized term covering a body of belief. So, I'm of this faith, I'm of that faith. That's how the world uses it. But that's not how the Bible uses it. And what we got to do, if we're going to know what faith is and understand the law of faith, we need to know what the Bible says it is. Okay? So, it says now faith is. First thing we've learned is there is a tense of faith, as in past, present, future tense. And faith is always present tense. If it is not present tense, it is not faith. Now keep drilling that in. Drilling that in. I hope you never forget it. I repeat a lot. Have you noticed? Do you know you go to the university and you learn to be a teacher? They're going to teach you this. That one of the most important things in teaching is repetition. Because if you don't repeat it over and over and over and over, your students are not going to remember it. Amen? So, I am being a good teacher. And I'm repeating stuff. Even though you go, oh, I know that. Oh, you need to be reminded of it. You know, I didn't get up flying in December. Usually I fly at least every month, and usually several times a month, depending on what needs to be done. And I didn't get up in December, and I hadn't been in one of the CAP planes, Civil Air Patrol. we have very good equipment provided to us by the Air Force, and Civil Air Patrol is an Air Force auxiliary. I'm a part of that. I'm a pilot, and fly a lot for them. We do, for those of you who don't know, we do a lot of search and rescue and training for search and rescue, and. So I hadn't been in a CAP plane for over 2 months. And, you know, I got in that plane the other day. I had to move some planes around for maintenance. And I thought, okay. How do I enter in a waypoint that I just want to go here to there? And you know what? It took me a while to figure it out, even though I knew it. I've done it hundreds of times. But because I hadn't used it for a little bit, I was rusty. And I'll tell you what, my first landing, it was a bit rusty too. Fact is, I landed at least twice on that one. That's when you let it hit a little bit harder and you bounce up. Remember, what we talked about earlier, you're still a little light on the wheels, and if you drop it in at all, that spring landing gear will ba-doing, put you back up in the air, and you come down again. But see, why was I rusty? Hadn't used it. A lot of people are rusty in faith, even though they knew it, even though they have used it. See, this is why I encourage you to do what the Bible says, go from faith to faith. Always be using your faith for something. Right. Amen? Yeah. I don't care if you got to believe God for some socks. Believe God for socks. Exercise your faith for something so that you don't get rusty. Don't wait for the crisis. People who wait for the crisis are not ready for the crisis. But the people who are ready for the crisis, you don't hear about their crisis because it doesn't get to develop into one. Oh, that's good right there. You ought to write that down. Okay. So it's important to know faith is always now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. we learn the substance means it is tangible. But the substance is not contacted by your physical senses. Because if you can see it with your eyes, touch it with your hands, you do not need faith for that. What do you need faith for? You need faith for what you don't have. That's what it's for. It's to get a hold of what is real and there and substance in the realm of the Spirit. How many believe in heaven? Everybody. You ever see it? Not a one of you. Ever been there? None of you. Now, there's a few people that have been to heaven and back, but none of us. But how do you know it's there? It's not because you can see it, touch it, you know, take pictures of it, come back and show and tell. No, it's because the Word tells you, and it's alive on the inside. You see it with the eyes of faith, not with natural eyes. See, we got to learn and discipline ourselves to change and switch which eyes we are using at any given point. Now, if you're driving your car, you better be using your natural eyes. Because if you're busy focusing on something God has promised you and you're not using your natural eyes and you zone out, you pretty quick you're going to be walking. Because your car is going to be a heap, a junk. Because you're not paying attention to the natural. We got to take care of the natural stuff. We do. Bible is very clear on that. We need to be good stewards. Take care of your stuff. But that is not, should not be at the expense of walking by faith and seeing with the eyes of the Spirit. What do you need to do? Well, according to Romans chapter 4, sometimes you need to ignore some stuff in the natural. There's a pain. There's a hitch in your get along. There's a What do you need to do? Well, you need to walk by faith. Now, your body will tell you, you're in bad shape here. This hurts. This is pain speaks loud. Has anybody noticed that? Pain has a loud voice. I have boogered my back a few times in my history. Usually it was doing firewood. I'd go and move something I shouldn't move, or I maybe wasn't in the shape I needed to be at the time. Because at the start of firewood splitting, I have to take it easy because I haven't been doing it for quite a few months. So I have to work my way up to the big stuff. And after I've been doing this for a while, I get in shape. And I can pick up some pretty big stuff. And, and I picked up stuff that young men have looked at me and go, "You picked that up? Yeah." Now, I didn't do it the first day, nor the second or the third. Amen? But there have been a few times that I did something stupid. Now, don't look at me like you never did something stupid. Like, I can't believe it. Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. So put down those tomatoes and those eggs. And I have boogered my back. And there's been a couple. I've done it at least twice. You think I'd learn the first time. But I've done it to where once I get laid down in bed, I almost can't turn over because it hurts. I understand pain speaking loud. Just trying to turn over. Getting out of bed. And I'm not even halfway out yet. And it takes just as long to lay back down when I come back. Wow. And that's a problem when you get older. You got to go to the bathroom at night. What is with that? When I was young, I slept all night. The older I get, man, I just get to make that trip a number of times every night. But the thing is, pain speaks loud. But it comes to that place where you've got to speak to the mountain. And even though pain is loud, or your situation is loud, or your empty checkbook is loud, or the bill collectors are loud. Come on. You got to learn to listen and look in your spirit, man, at what God has said. And tell the pain to shut up. Tell your body, shut up. No, we're not going there. You deal with it. That's why it's not a sin to take an aspirin. Now, some people get into faith and then they get weird. Oh, no, we don't believe in medicine. Well, that's stupid. Medicine, for the most part, is trying to help you. The doctor's trying to help you. I don't believe in doctors. Yeah, and the people that do that, their kids die, and they die. And you see it in the news. And you say, what a tragedy. Because whatever it was a simple little thing that could have been remedied. And the problem is, they think they're walking by faith, but if you try to get them to explain what faith is and the law of faith, they cannot do it. It's a blind belief. And really, a blind belief is no belief, as we're going to see. All right. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have evidence. 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 What is evidence? We learn evidence is proof of something you don't presently have. In the court of law, it's proof of something that has already happened. Your Honor, here's exhibit number one. I submit it as evidence. It's proof that that happened. And this guy's guilty. Well, when it comes to faith, faith is the evidence. It is evidence of something in the natural that has not happened. It is evidence that it is on its way. Hallelujah. If I got evidence, I know it's coming. Amen? Now, don't get confused here. Here's where a lot of people do not understand the law of faith. I just said it's coming. But just a few minutes ago, I said faith is now. Faith must be now. I am healed. I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. In other words, healing already belongs to me. Why? Because the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. It's an accomplished fact. It is mine. Now, everything that is mine is not here. We were cleaning out the sunroom yesterday because I got a project to do, and there was a lot of sandy stuff out there. So we had to go through all this stuff and, you know, determine what was junk, what was, had sentimental value was the term we used. And there was some sentimental value, and she accused me at one point of not having a sentimental bone in my body. I'm just not so sentimental about her things as I am mine. And then she said, wait till we have to clean out the shop.